As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandralina Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals have lost 8 straight at home, 15 of 18 at the K. Game 2 of their series against the Rays is tonight, 6:40 first pitch. Right here on 96.5 The Fan. Vern's On Deck show is at 5:30. He's going to join us in about a half hour to talk more about these Royals, who obviously just flat out cannot hit at Kauffman Stadium in particular. Michael Wacha is on the mound tonight. Good news with him is he's got a 2.78 ERA at home since the start of last season. They, of course, are now 3 under .500. And trying to snap this long home losing streak.
Yeah, and I think a couple things that stand out too. 0 for June at home. Mm-hmm. that's pretty bad, man, because we're almost out of June at this point. Haven't won a game at home in June. Lost 6 straight series at home. That's the importance of tonight, then tomorrow. Yeah. Because you're not losing the 7th straight series at home. You know, I'm not buying the whole, you know, hitting the ball out of the ballpark at Kauffman Stadium, because other teams don't have a problem doing it. And I remember when Dayton Moore, he really consciously looked at the team and built the team around the ballpark. Something he learned from Bobby Cox in Atlanta. He wrote a book about that, too, how Bobby Cox, you know, brought in players and stuff that were good at playing at home, like good around the environment. Like, that's what you do. That's your home field advantage, is bringing players in that are good in that kind of environment. Well, the Royals can't win at Kauffman Stadium, and it's a real frustration at this point. And we'll hear from Vern later, because Vern was pretty frustrated after the game last night, too. NBA draft round 1 tonight, round 2 tomorrow. Cooper Flagg be the number 1 overall pick and head to Dallas. Is there a reason to watch it, Gold, or just is it a better reason to use Twitter and watch the Royals?
Yeah, I'll watch the beginning of it. Yeah, I'll watch the first 5 to 10 picks of the draft. I'll have the Royals game on as well. But after the first 10 picks, it's something I'll just follow through Twitter or whatever. But I am this draft class has a chance, especially at the top, to be as good as we've had in a while in the NBA. We all know Cooper Flagg is going number 1 overall to Dallas. And we pretty much know the first 2 picks. 3, maybe there's a little bit of a surprise. I'm curious what some teams do that have 5 picks, like the Brooklyn Nets. But I'm not going to be sitting there, especially with no local. You know, the one possibility of a local kid getting drafted out of Mizzou, KU, or K-State is a Missouri kid in Bates, who's probably going to be undrafted. So it's not like there's a bunch of local connection to watch the entire first round for me.
So no. Get the point, especially tomorrow night. It starts to feel like the major league draft. Like, need to watch some film on this guy. I don't understand what this guy did.
Two-night event thing's a little wild. Next up on What's Trending, this is a story we're going to actually talk about here in, I don't know, 15 minutes or so. But the White Sox have banned a fan who heckled Diamondbacks Ketel Marte yesterday in their game. For those who aren't familiar with the story, again, we're going to talk more about this. But basically, there was a fan that caused the Diamondbacks player to flat out break down in tears right in the middle of the game after some fan heckled him about his mother who had passed away in a car crash back in 2017. This was at a White Sox game during the seventh inning. The Diamondbacks manager, Torrey Lovello, came on the field. Bench coach, you know, went out there to console him. Then they asked the fan to be ejected. They did eject that fan. And the latest update is that Major League Baseball has said, hey, yeah, you're banned, which they absolutely should ban him from every single park. We're going to play some audio of this coming up in about 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, these guys hear everything. They say they don't, but they always hear everything when they're
something
on the
like that,
circle in the
man.
Field.
Ridiculous.
But when you go that direction, it's one thing to talk about a player, you know, his performance, what he's doing. All that stuff's fair game. But whenever you start talking personal stuff with their family and things like that, gone way too far. Dumb White Sox fan in this situation. Completely dumb. Also, as far as baseball news, the Royals. Whit Merrifield finally announced his retirement. Your old guy. He used to come on with you guys all the time.
He did.
A Cody and Gold favorite, Whit Merrifield. I always enjoyed Whit Merrifield when he came up, to be honest with you. He's just at the wrong age to get that big contract because when he leads the league and hits for two straight years, you know, you look at his age, this is a guy that could have banked in Major League Baseball for some of the production that he was doing with stolen bases and the hits. It's just unfortunate for him. He wasn't in the contract time until he got into his 30s, and then everything kind of dissipated.
Ended up playing, 9 years. I think overall service time was like 8 years, 8.1 years or whatever. Hanging it up at the age of 36, he last played for the Atlanta Braves. Obviously, he's had some great years here in Kansas City. Individual accomplishments, led the big leagues in hits for two seasons. But you're right.
And stolen bases and hits one of those years.
Yeah, we know about the timing of everything in terms of that. I was trying to look up, what do you guys think, real quick, what do you think he earned? Because he obviously would have earned way more if he was called up earlier. What do you guys believe his career earnings were? And he mentioned the reason why he retired also is that he's got a, I think his daughter or son, I apologize, I don't remember, it was born last March, and so this is where his focus is at now. What do you guys think he earned in his big league career?
15.
Drew, you got a guess?
$37 million.
Close. 8 years in the big leagues, four different teams he got money from, $34
million. Oh, it was 34. I was way off.
$34 million.
He's doing the Royals.
Of course, the biggest chunk of that coming from the Royals.
Really?
Obviously.
I didn't realize he made that much money.
Well, he was with the Royals.
He would have made, he would have doubled, tripled that.
The contract they signed. I mean, the most money in a given year that he made with the Royals was $11.7 million.
Is he a Royals Hall of Famer?
No. You think he is?
Two All-Star games, led the league in hitting twice, led the league in stolen bases, twice as well? I think he's an argument for it, to be honest with you, for production-wise, because he was extremely productive when he was here.
Also, the era he was part of, unfortunately for him, it was bad
teams. Timing always with Whit, because he was supposed to be a guy called up in 15, remember? He got the call. Sure. He thought he was coming down to Kansas City. He would have got a ring, even playing just one day in Kansas City.
Correct.
He wasn't the guy they ended up calling up. I mean, to be honest with you, he was basically a Ben Zobrist after Ben Zobrist, to be honest with you, all the different versatility he had. But again, timing with Whit is everything because he could have had the ring.
So congrats to Whit Merrifield on his retirement, obviously what turned out to be a really great MLB career. We'll get to the Royals with Vern here at 12:30. But reminder, it is our lunch hour on a Wednesdays. We're proud to talk about our lunch partner, Jefferson's. We had some fun watching some Royals games at Jefferson's during the postseason as well. And Jefferson's has a new happy hour. It's also going to save you some money. How about this? 7 days a week, half off appetizers, half off your bar tab at Jefferson's Lenexa or Jefferson's in North Kansas City. Half off your bar tab, both locations during happy hour. Not to mention then on Mondays, it's all day happy hour. And they have these same great deals during a reverse happy hour, which is 7 days a week. So whether you're watching that game, looking for a good place to meet up with your family and friends, Jefferson's in Lenexa or North Kansas City, Jefferson's wings, burgers, oysters.
And I've done this, and I can verify it's an awesome deal.
Yeah, I love the corn nuggets and the honey barbecue wings, man. Corn nuggets, honey barbecue wings, my go-to. Every couple weeks, we get some of those brought in, man, and that's my order.
What are corn nuggets?
So bread. So like inside of it, it's hot. It's got corn in it, but it's breaded. It's fried or whatever. It's like corn. They're you can pop. I mean, you just keep popping them, man.
Okay.
They're great. Drew's tried them as well. I think he's on board with them now.
Yeah, they're very good.
Nick over at Jefferson's knows, like, that's the bring in some wings. That's an automatic.
I gotta
have the corn nuggets, man.
I've been to both places.
Yeah, we've done some stuff at both locations as well. All right, let's talk some baseball. Not specific to last night yet. We'll talk about that with Vern, as we already touched on that a little bit. But last night could impact how you feel about this, which was Jeff Passan ranking out the top 50 MLB trade candidates. And the Royals were mentioned as buyers in a couple instances, but also one Royals player made the top 10 list of a player they believe could get traded. They put a percentage next to each player of the likelihood. Seth Lugo was sixth on this list, 40% chance, according to Passan, he believes that he ends up getting traded. We know the financial situation for Lugo. He has an opt-out. Everybody expects him to opt out at the end of the season, as he likely will have plenty of options to make more money than what his opt-in number would be to stay with the Royals. And yeah, there's a scenario where he could re-sign in the offseason. I don't think it's likely, but yes, that scenario is real. The fact that he's mentioned as a trade candidate, he should be, if this team is actually out of it. And that's where it comes down to with Lugo. You cannot, if you're out of this near the deadline and you're six plus back or something, you cannot just roll him the rest of the season without getting something back. You can't roll him out there and not get anything, because if he leaves in the offseason, you have nothing to show for it for this particular year. He can help you in the future if he doesn't come back, if you're able to move him in season. And so they shouldn't do that today on June 25th. No, that would be silly. They're only three and a half games out of a playoff spot. Despite how bad they've been at home, they're still only that. But if in a couple weeks, yeah, they're seven or eight games out, well, then they absolutely should be considering trading them. They don't have to make that decision today. But yeah, I don't know why you would suggest to hold on to them if you know you're not going to be in the playoff picture, you know, and you fall way back and this week goes bad and all of a sudden you're sitting six games out of a playoff spot, seven games out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, especially you don't make the playoffs. You look back at the season, think you could have gotten something from Seth Lugo at that point. You still want to throw the towel in now. That's the curse and the blessing of the third wild card in Major League Baseball. The teams think they legitimately have a shot. But you have to be real about the situation. Look at the coaching staff and the front office staff, say, we're actually going to make it or not? What are we going to do? But other teams would be looking at the Chiefs or the Royals pitching staff, because they're like, okay, this team can't hit. And obviously, they're one of the tops in all the categories in pitching. So, you know, the pitching staff would be the first thing rated from this team.
Then in the same piece, it mentions four different players, along with other teams, right? It's not saying the Royals are the favorite for these, but just they listed teams connected to certain players. And same kind of conversation, depending on where this team is at. I don't want them just trading for Reynolds unless they're going to jump ahead of the line and go do that like today, or if this team were to get hot, which right now with the way the offense is at home, nobody really believes that is going to happen. So if you're going to make a trade for a bat, it needs to be for somebody that has control. So the four names that were mentioned, two of them have control beyond this year, and two of them are Reynolds. The two Reynolds are Eugenio Suarez there with the Diamondbacks, and they're an interesting team now because Corbin Carroll, one of the best players in baseball, is, I believe, now officially on the IL with a fractured wrist. Yeah. And then Marcell Ozuna down with the Braves. They got off to a slow start. They're starting to play better, and obviously Acuna's been back, and so the Braves are in a different spot. But those are both Reynolds. I'm only good with that if the team is actually in position, as in two or three games within a playoff spot. Bink, I don't want them seven out and trading for a rental player and giving up somebody that could potentially help them in the future. So that's where I'm kind of at. And Taylor Ward and Jaron Duran for the Red Sox, one of them has got control through 2028. The other's got control through 2026. Those two players, yeah, whether you're buyer or sell, I'm willing to make that trade, whether you're five out, two out, or eight out, because those are guys that can help you beyond just 2025. That's kind of where I'm at on the trade
but
front.
Control and rental at the same time would be the best way, instead of two for control, because that's going to cost you way too much money as far as that's concerned. So control and rental, but it's going to be curious who makes the first jump, which team does, because obviously these names, not just going to be linked to the Royals, going to be linked to a lot of different teams. Who's going to make the first leap to go out and grab these players? Because right now, I think they're all watching each other to see who's going to make that step, because you got to be aggressive. You have to be aggressive. If you feel you still have a chance, you got to be that team that's aggressive. Be one of those two or three teams that make the moves to get to the postseason, because they all are going to do it. These teams are going to stand pat. So you don't want to be the team on the outside, because then if all these other teams are, and Duran's gone and Suarez and Ozuna are gone, sure, then all of a sudden Seth Lugo, it becomes much more clear your direction if other teams jump in and grab these guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is all dictated by how the team plays the rest of this week and the rest of the next week or two. It solves a lot of these questions. But all these options that are out there, you can make a case for any of these five players mentioned, whether it's trading away one of your own or going and acquire one of these four. There's you really can go down a different road depending on, does this road trip end up as a 1-5 or 0-6 homestand? Sorry. Does it end up as a 1-5 or 0-6 homestand, or is it a 3-3 homestand, or now 4-2 seems pretty crazy, right? They already lost the first one against the Rays, but and the offense hasn't got going, and we know they've lost
4-2. You've won, you'd love that.
Haven't won a single game at Kauffman in June. So it's hard to imagine them now rattling off a couple, other than baseball's baseball, right? And crazier things have happened.
Yeah, because last night you're watching the game and saying, all right, which team's going to be the first to no-hit the Royals the way they were playing? I was like, yeah.
Wow, the perfect game through six, or two through five, I'm sorry, last night.
And Ohtani's supposed to go one inning versus the Royals. Maybe it's what he's been doing. But I told you, I could see Ohtani going five for the against the Royals because they're not challenging the pitchers.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I mean, a lot of people thought they were going to get swept by the Rangers, and then they ended up sweeping the Rangers. And so, while yes, the Dodgers are a daunting team,
it's a frustrating team.
It would not be the craziest thing in baseball history if the Royals somehow played better against the Dodgers for no rhyme or reason. I have no like actual numbers to back that up in terms of like why they should do it. But we've all watched baseball, listened to baseball on the radio long enough to know in a 162 game schedule, where by the way, there's still 81 games to go or something after tonight, I think 79, maybe tonight's the 80th game. I don't know, whatever it is, the best team in baseball losing to a middle of the road team happens all the time. But last night just brought up a lot of, I think, anger and frustration again, because for you to be a team with the expectation that they have and to be this pitiful at home, you know, you got fans that maybe go to one or two games a year and nobody's guaranteed a victory at home. Everybody knows you go to ballpark, there's no guarantee your team's going to win. But when for essentially now almost a month, you could have gone to a game and the team hasn't won one in your park. And oh yeah, by the way, they're also boring offensively because they can't score a darn run. They literally have scored the fewest runs in all of baseball now after last night. And it's a franchise worst offensive season. You wonder why attendance on weeknights, especially as we get into these days where it's miserably hot outside, you wonder why it dips. Go to the game right now, man. You're seeing one run or no runs, and you're seeing your team not even be competitive offensively in these games.
Well, you look at the teams and you look at the clarity of the AL Central. Things have come back to pack for this division. You got Cleveland, right? Cleveland's sitting here. They're 4-6 in the last 10, just like the Royals. You know what the Royals' differential is? Minus 25, right? It's minus 25. Differential for Cleveland is minus 27. And then there's Minnesota right behind them at minus 20. Minnesota's lost five games in a row, by the way. So your divisions, when the Royals are going on these losing streaks, whatever, so is the division. That's the thing. The Royals just keep hovering there at second or third.
Yeah, I'm not even
easily be in second.
Yeah, not even worry about the division. It's the final wild card spot. I mean, that's the only realistic conversation to be had. And they're what, 3.5 out of the final wild card spot. I understand there's a couple divisional teams that you're battling with. The Twins and Guardians are also looking at the wild card race. But
well, now Minnesota's four and a half back. So
yeah, like when we talk about even Taylor Ward, the outfielder for the Angels. The Angels aren't the Angels ahead of the Royals in the actual wild card stage? So it's like why should they be sellers? You know, that's the tricky part about this entire thing is as much as that we get text every day, sell, and that might be the eventual outcome. That very well could be, and it gets clarified in a few weeks. But why should the Royals, or the Angels in this case, why should they be the first team to say, no, we're good with selling? And every team's financials are different, and years of control and all that, but the Angels are in a better spot right this second than the Royals are,
unless you're the White Sox or Athletics in the American League,
right?
You don't think you
everybody's
Baltimore, I mean, I don't know, they're 7.5 back from a wild card, but they've been playing better as of late, but 7.5 back.
You already fired your manager. 7.5 back.
Chances are it's sell-off time. So essentially three teams in the American League, four in the National League that could be that know they're not going to the postseason. But the rest, think they can go.
We'll talk more about the home struggles with Josh Vernier here in about 12 minutes or so. We'll get his perspective on last night, why they have struggled so much at home. We'll also, of course, talk about how they should proceed with handling some of these names maybe that are being thrown out there as possible trade candidates and how they should approach it. We mentioned in what's trending this really awful story out of a White Sox game with the Diamondbacks yesterday. And since the fan has been banned, but Ketel Marte, who's an all-star player, supposedly, we obviously don't cover the Diamondbacks, but by all accounts, seems like high energy guy, real positive guy to be around and all this kind of stuff. All of a sudden, he starts bawling on the field, middle of the game. I think it was the seventh inning last night. You're like, what is going on? Listen to the broadcast, because the broadcast is also just trying to figure out, like, what at this point in time, what exactly had occurred.
Welcome back to Chicago. This is from the previous pitching change. Torey Lovello with Ketel Marte in tears on the pitcher's mound, waiting for the reliever to come in, consoling Ketel Marte, who was in tears. Ketel Marte in tears, kneeling down behind second base, being consoled by his teammates. Now, we can only speculate as to what bad news that Ketel has received, but he was very emotional out there. As Beeks comes in to face Austin Slater, the pinch hitter, and Slater batting for Rojas, flies out. No idea why Ketel was in tears there during the pitching change. He might be upset about his teammate Ildemaro Vargas suffering a broken foot earlier in the game, but that was unusual.
And it wasn't that. They didn't know at the time. We later find out that some fan in Chicago at this White Sox-Diamondbacks game shouted, yelled something to, about his mother, who had passed away in a car crash back in the Dominican Republic, I think in 2017 is what 2017. And so that obviously brought up a ton of emotion from him. Who knows how long this guy was heckling him and saying these terrible things. My guess is it wasn't just a one-off comment. He probably, who knows how long he was doing it. If you've brought up whatever it is, right? People go to sporting events, they think they can say whatever the hell they want and there's no consequences. And that this happens, stuff like this happens far too often at sporting events. We've all been around somebody, right? You can have fun and joke around with an opponent or whatever, and all people do that all the time. But there is a line that you cannot cross. This fan got ejected from the game. Torey Lovello, the manager of the Diamondbacks, ended up going out there as well. And consoling him along with their bench coach. And then after the game, he was asked about the whole scenario with Marte.
It was a terrible moment. Fans are nasty and fans go too far sometimes. And I love my players and I'm going to protect them. I've known Ketel for 9 years and he's had some unbelievably great moments and some hardships as well and some really, really tough moments in his life. And I know those. And at the end of the day, we're human beings and we have emotions and I saw him hurting and I want to protect him.
Can you tell us what you told him?
I love you and I'm with you and we're all together and you're not alone. And no matter what happens, no matter what was said or what you heard, that guy's an idiot and shouldn't have an impact on you.
Yeah, it's awful, right? Like that's one of those worst moments that you can probably experience if you're Marte, and to be on the road at a stadium, you're playing a baseball game, and somebody, some a-hole, decides to make comments like that. And the good news at this point is that Major League Baseball has banned him. I don't know. Did they ban him just from all parks? They should.
I think the White Sox. Was it the White Sox or Major League Baseball that?
Major League Baseball.
Okay, so I think it's White Sox games. At least that's what I saw.
They should not allow them in any ballpark. You don't get to just say whatever the hell you want at sporting events. We all know the line that you can. I thought that you don't cross as a fan, man. It's and also I don't want to say like this is one White Sox fan, right? Like we've all been at games. There's always one complete moron. It doesn't mean that's the entire fan base and everything. But if you want to show that that's not what you're about, if you're White Sox fans, I don't know if they play them tonight. I assume they do, right? It's a series that just opened up. You should almost give this dude like a standing ovation or something when he goes in the batter's box, even as an opponent, to show, hey, that guy's not Chicago. I don't know if that'll happen tonight, but that if you want to prove that that guy doesn't represent you, because otherwise this is obviously a terrible look for you as a Chicago sports fan.
And by the way, it's just the White Sox. It wasn't Major League Baseball.
Okay, just the White Sox.
Just that stadium,
okay.
Yeah. At this point.
Major League Baseball should not allow him to go
It'll
to
happen.
Any, he should not be allowed in any Major League Baseball game.
Now, again, there's a difference between making fun of someone how they're playing. I mean, all that's
well,
fair
course,
game. Between
yes,
the lines is
that
fair
stuff
game.
Happens.
But personal stuff, that's outside the lines. It's just this. It shouldn't be done. Saying anything about them or joking about it, their performance, maybe they're hitting .59, you're yelling about their betting. It's fair. It's fair. That's legitimate. But someone's mom, I mean, come on.
Yeah, we've all got a sporting events enough. We know the fun ribbing or whatever, and baseball players are not going to – that's not a problem if you're going to go out there and joke about their hair or whatever, right? You know what I mean? Like dumb stuff, yeah. Right? Like, you know, we've all been like, your hat's on, like whatever, right? Dumb stuff, right? As fans shout at players.
Yeah.
But whether we're talking about saying something that's racist or homophobic, or in this case, you're talking about – talking about someone's mother
family,
who died in a car crash. What the hell are you bringing that up for? Like, what? I mean, I don't care if you were drunk or not. That's not an excuse. That's terrible. It's one of those where eventually the identity of this person comes out, and stuff like this is where one of those, like, you know, that this person should have consequences in terms of in their professional life as well. I'm serious. Normally I'm not like the, oh, make sure this person, no, like this person, people should know, his employers should know who the hell he is. If you go to a ballpark and you bring up stuff like that, like, you want that person representing you? You want to work next to that dude that is saying stuff like that about somebody? Absolutely not.
Well, the White Sox did something about it, so that's good on the White Sox.
Yeah. All right, up next, let's skip back on the diamond in terms of the playing side of things with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Of course, his on-deck show is tonight at 5:30 as the Royals looking for their first home win in 9 tries. We'll talk more about that and how they should approach the next couple of weeks right here.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Parties Over today on the Odyssey app.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper, boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
On Cody and Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Jay Binkley with you. Cody's back tomorrow. Drew Nixon producing the show. We'll get to the random question of the day in about 15 minutes or so, but the Royals will try to snap this 8-game home losing streak tonight out at Kauffman Stadium. Michael Wacha gets the nod, 6:40 first pitch. Vern's on deck show right here on 96.5 The Fan begins at 5:30. Let's bring in our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Bink said he was listening to you a little bit last night, and understandably so. He said you were ticked off. You were fired up, as most Royals fans are right now.
You know, I honestly thought I didn't do a good job, and maybe that's what Bink's saying.
No, I wouldn't say that. I thought you sounded frustrated like we did.
Yeah, I was dejected. I wasn't angry. I wasn't frustrated, because if I was to get on the air after that game last night and start screaming about the offense, I'm the crazy person. Right, we're 79 games into the season. What they did yesterday is what they've done a majority. I mean,
sure.
20 of the first 79 games, they've been held to one run or been shut out. So, you know, once every 3-4 days, this team is held to one run or less. So, you know, it's the same conversation we've had for now the past 2.5 months. You point to the same names and say, yeah, we all believe in them. We have faith in them. But that faith is starting to dissipate. And We're now just holding on to hope, you know, hope that this offense, that Bobby, Salvi, and Vinny can find that Herculean magic from a season ago, that this pitching staff can stay healthy. You know, the saving grace right now is the calendar. I had someone call into the postgame show and say, Vern, what do I tell my, you know, football friends that are just kind of getting into Royals baseball after that run last year? You know, right now you point to the fact that, you know, this team is in week 9 of the NFL season. You know, coming up in the second quarter of that week 9 game. So what, they're a 4-4 team in the NFL that is getting crushed right now in the first half? There's still time to turn their season around, still ways to get backdoored into the postseason. But tough to preach optimism and tough to be angry after a very familiar loss.
There's no doubt. We've seen this story play out so many times throughout this 2025 baseball season. What did you make of, you know, Jonathan India's comments after the game where, you know, he basically said maybe we're trying too much, maybe we're trying to hit the ball too far, we're overswinging, we're trying to hit home runs. He talked about, you know, the ballpark's not really made for home runs. He took, you know, blame for his own approach at the plate as well.
Yeah, nice to see, but, you know, words and, you know, meetings, mm-hmm. and that's not what 2025 was supposed to be about. That's not what Jonathan India was supposed to bring, what we've seen so far this season. You know, the on-base percentage was supposed to be better. You were hoping for more doubles and extra base hits, maybe not home runs, but more doubles than we're getting. But, you know, to me, that's never been an issue with this team, them taking ownership. You walk into that clubhouse, and before the game, it's, you know, a group of confident, close teammates. But after a loss, you can tell it affects them. You know, they care more than we do. Vinny hasn't run from it since day one. Jonathan India's had a very bumpy start to his Royals career, and he's there before every game, after every game, willing to answer questions. So, you know, they are a true, a lot of professionals inside that clubhouse. So those comments don't surprise me. And that's why, you know, I have such a tough time of late continuously crushing the same thing because, man, I know they're just as they're more frustrated than I am. They're more agitated than I am. They're more fed up than I am. So really, now it just comes down to them getting the job done and hopefully them getting some reinforcements. I know they're 3 games below 500, but wow, what a moment that would be inside the clubhouse for them to be sitting there and in walks fill in the blank. Taylor Ward, Luis Robert, Eugenio Suarez, Marcell Ozuna. I mean, that type of, you know, pat on the back, that bolster of confidence coming from the front office, coming from ownership, that, boys, like I mentioned, it's week 9 of the NFL season. You can still get in there, and as we saw last year and as we've seen over the past decades, get in there and anything can happen.
So I'm with you. My thing is on the Reynolds, though, Vern, like, unless they make that move, like, today in the next week I don't want them really trading for a Reynolds player. Otherwise, you need to be trading for, you know, you mentioned Taylor Ward or whatever. I think he's got a control through 2026. That move they can make, whether they're quote-unquote in it or not, that's a move that helps them beyond this year. But, like, Marcell Ozuna and Suarez, like, it either needs to happen now, or if they do wait 2-3 weeks, then they need to be within 3 or 4 games of a playoff spot. Otherwise, I don't want them making a rental trade.
And neither of those two guys are the dream.
I'm
not dreaming of a DH only that can barely move in Ozuna and a guy that's banged up right now, just took a fastball off the wrist in Eugenio Suarez. No. To your point, and, you know, whatever move they were to make in the next week, 2 weeks, it's going to be, I would assume, an overpay. Unless you can find an organization that prizes something that you don't think all that much of within your own organization, you have to think that most of these teams that have anything of value, they can ask for the moon right now because we're still 5 weeks away from the trade deadline. But, you know, I heard you guys talking about Seth Lugo earlier. Depending on the health of Cole Reagans, I know Jeff Passan says they're more apt, and, you know, Passan knows everything, they're more apt to move Lugo if Reagans isn't going to return.
I think it's the other way, but yeah.
Yeah, that's how I see it too. But again, you know, Jeff Passan's as plugged in as there is in the sport. But to me, if I know I'm getting Cole Reagans back, man, that opens up a spot in this rotation. I can move Seth Lugo. I think you can still go for it. and move Seth Lugo because, you know, what you're going to get in return for a Seth Lugo is likely prospects, likely something that doesn't help you until next year or a couple years down the line, because the type of team that would be interested in Seth Lugo is a team that's trying to make a push to the postseason. They're not trying to carve anybody out of their big league clubhouse unless, you know, unless there is a team. I don't know if there is a team that has so many bats that, you know, they would be in a similar situation if Cole Reagan's return to the Royals suddenly have six starters. I don't know if that team exists. Cardinals always seem like they have three or four of the same white guy in the outfield that hits bombs. I don't know if that's still the case. But if you're going to move Seth Lugo, it's not going to be something to help you this year. So, you know, I think you can have your foot in both the buy and the sell market as we sit. You know, tomorrow's going to be 5 weeks.
I think the frustrating thing to me, Vern, is you see these group of teams, they're kind of bunched in, the nine teams that really legitimately have a shot to get in it. You see that, and then you see the Royals pitching staff, like how good it's been. And you wonder who's going to make that jump, because I think this can be completely competitive. Like, it's a game of chess. Which team is going to make the first move to grab the talent? Because the talent pool's, you know, limited with teams still in it and out of it. There's not many teams out of it in the AL or NL. Do you see a lot of teams, the Royals, that have competition to jump up? Should they be one of the teams to go out first and make moves if they think they can do it? Or kind of wait and see if someone else makes a move? Because I see really a lot of competition for some of these guys.
Yeah, when I look at the wild card teams, you know, it really begins not even so much with, in my opinion, the talent, as much as it begins with the organization and the front office and what were the expectations coming into the year. In Kansas City, the expectations were to get to the postseason. And in talking with J.J. Piccolo yesterday, ownership is very much behind that, you know, trying to build a consistent winner here in Kansas City. It doesn't appear as if John Sherman's saying, hey, if you're going to bring in someone that has a hefty contract, you're going to have to offset it because I ain't paying it, right? You're going to have to part with some big prospects because that team is paying that dude's contract, a la, you know, Ben Zobrist or Johnny Cueto. You know, we'll take on those players, but we're not going to take on all that money. And if we do, boy, we better get something to truly offset that. I think John Sherman's fully foot on the gas pedal. And coming into the season, it was playoffs or bust. I mean, that was my expectation. I mean, the goal was win the division, but I think the floor, that's how everyone was talking. I mean, to a man inside that clubhouse, it wasn't if we make the playoffs. It's what we're going to do when we make the playoffs. The Texas Rangers are, 2 years removed from a world title? The Angels were certainly not playoffs or bust. The Boston Red Sox already trading Rafi Devers, so they have a built-in excuse as to why they could ultimately fall short of the postseason. So those are the top three teams in front of you. Cleveland and Seattle. Seattle was basically what the Royals are this year. A great pitching staff, no offense, and they finished a game short of the postseason. True. So they have pressure. I would say Seattle and Kansas City are the two teams that most desperately need to grab that third wildcard spot. Toronto has the second. I'd put them in that mix as well with the money that they threw around this offseason. But everybody else in the mix, man, just staying in the race to me is good enough for that organization. Royals, Mariners, and Jays need to be there. So to me, they need to be the most aggressive teams.
They get the Rays, obviously, for two more. Then the Dodgers are coming to town. We talked yesterday on the show, just expectations for this homestand. And now, in general, when you haven't won in the month of June, just what do you make of the rest of this week? All the conversation about the trade stuff, one way or the other, is fine, right, but they're right. You know, another 1-5 homestand or 0-6 homestand, and I think we're all thinking a lot differently on Monday.
Yeah, now we're chasing our tail, and we might need to push back. At least personally, I might need to push back from the table and say, you know, am I thinking emotionally rather than logically and thinking about the future of this organization? Yeah, listen. You know all the reasons, Golden Bank, you guys know all the reasons to believe in this team, to be patient with this team, the potential of this offense. I don't need to tell anybody listening. I don't need to tell you guys. They just need to go out there and get it done. And it's more, and you know this, it's more than just the Rays and the Dodgers. This entire stretch until the All-Star break, every team outside of the Pirates is in playoff position. Yeah, 18 games to go. You're hoping to go 9-9 down the stretch. You're hoping to hit the All-Star break 3 games below .500, which is something that I don't think anybody thought they'd be fixing their lips to say.
What's the frustration level, though, Vern, that you have? Because I know as a fan, when I'm in other Royals fans are watching it, because I was excited, you know, day off, you know, I hate it. I want to see the Royals get back in action. We'll see with this homestand with the Rays and the Dodgers. And, you know, they had the off day, so I expected more energy and whatnot when they got on the field, and then they played like that. I felt like a sucker to some extent that I'm always expecting. And so at some point, you are what you are. Like June 1st right. hits, and now we're almost right. to July. I expect something different to happen each and every night, but yet it doesn't. And last night there, I don't know why it happened just last night, but that really, really was frustrating to me. Sure. And you know how we do it on the betting segment. Vern, I go with these Sundays. I back away from the hitters. I'm like, I don't care how they're hitting. At a certain point, I'm going all pitchers at this point. Flex. But last night was more frustrating to me than any other night.
Yeah, I knew you'd get it in there. I knew you'd mention how well you're doing on the gambling segment. You're so pathetic.
Vern, I've heard from Bink about
number one.
I've heard from about eight different times since Bink's been filling in about this. I don't even know the standings, but he does.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm number one, aren't I, Vern?
Yes, you are. You are number one, Binkley. No, as far as last night, and here's the thing. You know, am I frustrated? Am I agitated? Yeah, I'm frustrated in the fact that the postseason does seem so far out of reach, and the only way this team's going to get to the postseason is by becoming the team that we've been waiting for them to become, and that, you know, that just seems like a fool's errand. But then I look up and down this lineup, and okay, Jonathan India last night, 1-for-4. Yeah, I'm disappointed in his performance, but like we mentioned, the dude's owning it. You know, I watch him before games. He's putting the work in. Okay, Bobby's in the 2 spot. Bobby's still one of the 20 best players in Major League Baseball. No, he's not making a case for the American League MVP, but Bobby's been good. Bobby's been very good. Mikel Garcia's been unbelievable. You know, Vinny Pasquantino, very disappointing with runners in scoring position, just a shade better than 200. But he's hitting well over 300 in June, hitting better than 300 since the end of April. And he's another guy, one of the mouthpieces of the team that owns it, that says, I suck. When he sucks, he owns it. So how can I be more frustrated than a guy that's saying, I suck? You know, Salvi's the captain. I'm not going to question the kind of effort that he's putting in. Jack Caglione's been thoroughly impressive in his first few weeks in the big leagues. Drew Waters, John Rave, Nick Lofton, Mark Canna, terrific bench players. They can maybe have one spot in the lineup. Shouldn't have two of those guys in the lineup every single day, especially if you think you're going to win the division. But then that goes back to MJ and Massey and Hunter Renfro and those three disappointing bats. Kyle Isbell's been terrific, and that's every hitter. So, yeah, I'm frustrated in the offense. I'd love Freddie Fermin, but I don't know where to target that frustration. There isn't that whipping boy in this lineup. There isn't that whipping boy on this team. It's just a very disappointing first half of the season that we all just kind of have to sit with.
Hey, Vern, what do you know about this roster construction? Because I was telling Gold, you know, Dayton Moore, when he was here, he has that book that he had out that Dayton Moore wrote, and he took a lot of stuff from Bobby Cox and how he built the Braves to be good in the particular ballpark, the home ballpark. Like, you got the type of group of players that were good there. And it does matter because you're at home so many games. It just seems this year, are they still doing that, do you feel? You feel this group of players is good for that particular ballpark, this particular ballpark?
Well, I think the first three hitters and the last three hitters are. Okay. India, again, just way too many fly balls from the beginning, you know, from opening day. I want the line drives. Hit those gaps. Bobby and Mike Kell are built for this place. You know, Vinny and Salvi and Cags. No, those are your boppers in the middle, although Caglione's athleticism has been impressive. You know, Waters, Rave, Isbell, the, you know, with all due respect, defensive first, punch and Judy's for the most part. So who are we talking about? Yeah, Bobby is, Mike Kell is, Jonathan India is, your boppers are not, and the guys that are at the bottom of your lineup, I guess, are because they're, you know, quality, speedy outfielders that can cover a lot of ground. So, yeah, I do think the team is built for the ballpark. Unfortunately, they're just not having any success at the ballpark. Now lost 11 straight games as home favorites, which is crazy. Embarrassing.
Last one for you. Someone texted in, should I have Drew go back and try to find, I guess a caller was talking about Caglione's legs last night and you hung up on him. Is that true?
Well, I don't hang up on anybody. Let's get that.
Okay.
I would. I certainly would. I just don't have control of the phone.
True. That is true.
No, he was just pointing out just how good looking Jack Caglione's legs were. I thanked him for the phone call and asked the next caller if he agreed. And he did not.
All right, Vern. Appreciate it, man. There you go. Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, is on deck show tonight, 5:30, as the Royals try to snap this home losing streak.
Did you pay attention at all to it, like some of the things Rex was saying last night? Because they said some really interesting things to me, I think.
About which stuff? I mean, I thought Ryan's comments late in the game were interesting as well about the off
base,
day.
When Vinny was getting a hug from one of the Rays and stuff, okay. Rex just basically said, see, I don't like that. I mean,
That's an old school thing.
It's old school, but I agree with him, though. When you see that kind of thing happen, I was like, you know,
I think hearing that from Rex
because that, you know, they shouldn't be doing that stuff right now. You got to win. It's not about being friends. You do that after the game or before the game, whatever. You don't do it during the game. And I agreed with Rex.
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of people that agree with him on that. I think that's definitely just a different era of baseball. Yeah. And if you're a baseball fan, you know, going way back and stuff, you're like, what the fact these guys know each other so much now, they train with each other in the off season and that kind of stuff. It's just a different relationship that they have with the opponent. And yeah, I think sometimes, look, it's one of those things where when the team's winning, nobody gives a damn that they're hugging and whatever, and being friendly. But when they're losing, people all of a sudden have an issue with it. I don't have a problem with that. So that's where baseball is at in 2025.
When you go back,
let's say Vinny works out with a player in the off season. They're good friends. The day and age of that they're gonna talk to that player.
Well, Lorenzo Cain had that attitude back in 15, you know, or 14, because he was at first base. And the Tigers wanted to, you know, tell jokes with him. He's like, "Hey, I'm here to beat you."
I
hear you,
and you're not alone. I know I'm in the minority, but it's definitely a different generation. It's a generational thing, is what it is. I think more than anything else. All right, let's get to it.
Random question.
Oh boy.
Jay Binkley, do you have a random question for us and for the text line 913-586-7965?
I wrote a couple down in case.
Oh,
okay, good.
Just in case.
Right, good.
We'll see if we're going to veto Binks. Let's see what we got.
It might have been so bad.
Okay.
That I backed off from doing it the other day.
You pouted in the corner, as you said. You told us you were pouting.
You had a real winner of a question, too. What desk would you
buy? That's not the question, but go ahead. That was not the question.
So let me throw one out here. It was going to be, you know, we talked about what would you do a tattoo for? Now, what would be the price on that?
The Travis Kelce naked tattoo.
Ryan Wachowski, when he was here, we once talked about what would you be tased in the junk for? How much money? And I think these things are interesting. It was like $500.
That's your question?
Like $500. No, it's not. If you could have one food item, one place and you can get whatever you want. No, one food item or one particular drink. Like, say you like Coors Light, just be a Coors Light. But that's it. Not any other kind of beer, just that.
This was the option the other day that we didn't choose, correct?
Yep. But it was free. Yep. But it's free for the rest of your life.
What was your option we have for the question?
If you could swap lives with a fictional character for one day, who would it be?
Oh, I don't like that. We've done that before.
Beavis.
We've done that one before. Let's do Binks, I guess. To answer your question, one food item for that's the only item I can eat the rest of my life.
Liquor. Would you take the liquor or the food?
That's
item?
All I can eat the rest of my life.
One or the other. Would you choose?
But that's
No. To get free.
Oh, for free. Oh, well then give me a filet mignon steak. And we're good to go, my man. I'm good. That's my item. Give me a nice steak.
Okay.
Yeah.
One food item.
One item. Just
one
a good,
food item.
Just a good
or,
steak
or liquor.
If you tell me I'm getting filets for free the rest of my life, I'm happy. I'm thrilled.
I'd probably buy the filet, but I consume more beer, so it'd be beer.
Okay.
Yeah, beer's, I would say, steak is a really good answer.
I'm just buying the steak or whatever. I'm still going to have that, but the beer was something that's...
Steak's more expensive. I'll take it for free. The steak's more expensive.
I have beer a lot more often than I do steak.
I'm going to go with chicken. Plain and simple.
Just like
chicken.
Chicken strips,
just a chicken. You just want a chicken, like
no.
Grilled chicken, thighs, drumsticks.
Give me the chicken tenderloins from the grocery store.
Okay,
yeah, I can have tacos. I can have salad. I can make. I can just have regular grilled chicken itself. You know,
fine, but
I mean, I can make steak tacos with the filet.
Correct. Well, I don't want to use steak. I don't want to say the same.
No, grilled chicken or whatever. Okay,
just give me chicken.
Someone says filet mignon isn't steak.
Huh?
What are we doing here?
Okay.
It was a good answer, but I'm still going with the liquor item.
Someone from the 913, Bink, how much beer do you drink in a day? Just trying to compare us.
Oh, jeez.
Like on the air?
No, just when you go home tonight, how much beer are you drinking when you're watching the Royals game?
Oh, with the Royals? A case. No, I was just kidding. No, the Royals make me drink more. I don't know, two or three, four, five.
Two, three, four, five? It just went up there pretty quick all of a sudden.
It depends on the Royals. two or three, probably.
Okay.
Text line, 913-586-7965. A few people saying crab legs would be their answer.
That's
Jameis is texting.
Yeah, perhaps. Someone does not like Drew's answer, said chicken. What an awful answer, Drew.
I can make multiple things with it, though.
You
like,
can have
why
your
not?
Damn Mike's Hard Lemonade every day, Drew.
I don't drink Mike's Hard enough to...
You do when you're angry.
No, I don't. I don't drink Mike's Hard enough to get it, to want it for free.
You said you were so frustrated with the Pacers, you went and grabbed one. He's a freaking idiot.
You said it, not me.
The please. Other one that I was going to ask you, the other question was, what would the title of your biography be?
I have no idea, man.
Don't get married.
Yo, that'd be yours, Bink.
You asked me.
Well, how much you talk about it.
Don't lose your ring.
And knock us.
Don't lose your ring.
I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday. Did you see during the...
Yes, he ignored that. He moved on quickly.
Totally whiffed on that.
I don't know if you guys... I didn't watch any of the parade, but I saw some parts of the Thunder speeches. And there was a moment where Chet Holmgren had a little bit of a stumble and a stutter. And coming from somebody who stutters, I tweeted, I think I got to use this line. I mean, I really do.
All right, let me lock in.
I'm going to have to say, and the next time I stutter on the air, boys, if I recognize it, I'm going to have to stop and say, all right, let me lock in. So I don't stutter anymore. I think that was hilarious.
It is good. It is good.
I did see that clip.
My biography would be Stuttering Through Life. Be perfect.
Look at you. That's deep. We just went deep, got deep all of a sudden.
Yeah, you're getting serious.
Yeah, we got all of a sudden.
Yeah, no comment, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing I can really say to that, Drew.
Yeah,
you know?
Back off that.
I mean, when you make comments like that, we have to change the mood very quickly and turn it away.
Because
if you're going to say that, like, I got to break that up.
I've played with Stiff Chefs. It's not that great.
Yeah, we're back on track now. You went too serious for a second.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Turn. I mean,
that's a chapter of one of the... that's a chapter.
Oh, yeah?
Huh. You will not decorate my balls, period. I will decorate my balls.
Yes, Drew, that's perfect.
I prefer that.
I will draw the line on the golf ball.
I prefer that answer versus
that's
the
a good,
others.
I always circle the number on my golf ball.
You circle the number on what?
All right. You guys are
childish.
We will get to
childish
the
behavior.
1 o'clock hour. A terrible list of quarterbacks by the division in the NFL. And we'll get back into some of what Vern had to say with us right there with this team that just simply can't hit at home.
As women, we all wake up one day and realize that youth, marriage, and perfect skin don't come with a refund policy. If that hits home, Party's Over is good for you. It's the show where beauty, heartbreak, and brutal honesty collide. Each week, beauty rebel and author of BS to Botox, Sandra Lena Silverman, and her guests spill the truth about aging, love, and everything in between. Expect laughter, wisdom, and the occasional Botox confession. Real women, real stories, real talk. Download Party's Over today on the Odyssey app.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at UnitedHealthcare.
When I think about UnitedHealthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At UnitedHealthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for UnitedHealthcare. I'm committed to care.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.